Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 12.
Romans chapter 12.
The Lord keeps putting prayer on my heart, something I think He's trying to teach me to do more often or to improve the way that I pray. And even Sunday night's message, Brother Barnhouse was preaching about the strongholds in your life. And what did David have to do? He prayed, cried out to God for his need. And so often we have such a powerful tool when it comes to prayer that we rarely use. And it's not because it's only for unique situations. I'm sure I have a couple. I don't have many tools. I'm not manly enough, I guess, for lots of tools. I have a couple. One thing I had to buy was a screwdriver that's about like this long and super skinny, so I could get inside the handles on my oven to change over the little... I don't even know why. It was in there. The guy on YouTube said I had to do it. So I did it, and it changed my... I think I was changing out the... from natural to propane. I don't know what I was doing. I did something, and the oven worked after. But you know how many times I've used that screwdriver since? None! Because I have other screwdrivers I like better that are stronger, that aren't so flimsy and long and awkward. Prayer is something... I don't know why, but we have a tendency to think it's only for unique, strong situations. And it's like that thing I pull out when there's a great need in my life. But that's not what God desires from us. And on Sunday morning, I got to preach about the idea of praying consistently and continually. And here in Romans 12, verse number 12, we see the scripture teaches us, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. And I think these ideas are kind of disconnected in this part of Romans chapter 12, but I think these three things that are in this verse work together quite well. We rejoice in prayer when there's hope, amen? And we give thanks to God. And when there's a possibility that God can still work, that God can still change, what do? We continue instant in prayer. I'm reminded of David, King David, after his sin with Bathsheba, he was told that the child was going to die. Told by the prophet, as punishment, that child was going to die. What did David do? He prayed. And they came to him. He wouldn't eat. Wouldn't drink. Prayed. Even though God said to him, it's not going to happen. He knew sometimes God changes his mind. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Even though he didn't have promise of relief, although he didn't have, the prophet didn't say, if you pray, good will happen. He had nothing but bad news. And he still was faithful in prayer. And then what does the second part say? Patient in tribulation. We can pray, and it's easy to give thanks to the Lord when things go well, but sometimes like that prayer of David, it's hard to continue in prayer when it's in moments of tribulation. Because the devil is trying to discourage you. That your prayers don't work. That God is not listening. But we know if we pray, God is always listening. That's a promise throughout Scripture. And as it says here at the very end, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. I want to share just a couple minutes with you here tonight. Different ways to pray. I say a couple minutes. I have 3 pages of notes, which is quite large for me. So we're going to get through it fast. So stay with me, please, and we'll try to get through it as quick as we can, amen? But this idea is important, that our prayer life needs to be balanced. The way we pray needs to have some difference in it. I remember when we first got married, my wife and I, we lived in an apartment in Spencerport that became a church apartment for a while. Amen. A couple people after us lived in the same apartment there. But it was during that time, my wife, when we first got married, could not cook at all. And she will tell you that. She called my mom about how do I cook a steak? Or how do I do these simple things? Because she had no idea. When we were in teen class, when the Rogers brought a snack, that's the one you stayed away from. No one wants to try what the Rogers brought in for young adults or teen class. And then, little by little, she learned to cook, and now I am much fatter, and I blame it all on her. No, but the food is getting good. Amen? And one of the things she first started baking was this thing called friendship bread. Has anyone had friendship bread? Ooh, it is good stuff, because it's like a pound of sugar in the shape of a loaf of bread. It's delicious. But the thing with friendship bread is, at least I was told this by my wife, is that you have to keep making it to keep like the starter alive or going. So once that bag of goo, that's the bread dough or whatever, is gone, it's impossible. It's lost forever. No one in the world will ever be able to have friendship bread ever again. I hope somebody at this moment still has a bag of goo somewhere in their house or somewhere in the world, or we've lost friendship bread forever. No, you have to keep making it, because if you don't, you lose that, and then you can't make it anymore. So the first couple times we had it, you're thinking, oh yeah, this is good. And then you see it again on the counter. Yeah, I'll have some. And then the next week it's on the counter again. What are we doing? Why is this bread always in our house? And you begin to get weary of it. And it reminds me of the children of Israel with the manna. I'm sure the first couple weeks, months they had manna. Woo! God has given us manna in the desert, blessing, the bread of angels. And then we see in Scripture later on, they are sick and tired of manna. Even though it's the divine food from heaven, keeping them alive in the middle of a desert, they grew to hate it. And our prayer, our ability to pray, is something that's divine. It comes from God Almighty. He has instilled in us not only an ability to pray, but we should have a desire to pray. I believe there's something in us that wants to talk to God. But what does the devil want us to do? What does our flesh want to do with that divine gift? Begin to treat it like the manna. Oh, it's good when you first get saved and you want to pray, or God answers a prayer and you're all excited. You want to pray some more, you want to pray some more. And then after a while, it can easily become stale. It can easily become something you no longer appreciate. And just like having that friendship bread time and time and time and time and time and time and time again, something that's delicious, you look at it and think, ugh, not again. Now, I think I could eat pizza every day of the week and be happy. But after 6 months or so, I would get sick of having, it would probably take closer to 3 months, but I'd get sick of having pizza every night. Now, our prayers need to be kept fresh, need to be kept new. And there's no new way to pray. Amen? Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. We pray in the same way, but we can use the same method of prayer and do it slightly different ways. Did you know there's over 650 prayers in the Bible? 650. And I can get you the whole list if you really want it. And there's over 450 answers to those prayers, recorded just in the Bible that we have here. God wants his people to pray. He made a note of putting those prayers in the Bible to be an example for us. 650. What else is mentioned in the Bible 650 times as a theme? There's not many things. And then we see that many answers to prayer. God is trying to encourage us. Prayer is important, and prayer works. But I have a question for you here tonight. Do you want to pray? When you wake up in the morning, do you want to pray? Halfway through the day, do you want to pray? Before you go to bed at night, do you want to pray? Do you ever get down to pray and you're bored by your own prayers? That means your prayer life has gotten stale. There's a problem there. Because prayer should be a sweet, a powerful, a precious time between us and our Creator. And if it's getting boring and you don't have a desire to pray, I know the flesh is always there and it's going to be fighting against you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it every time it's you think about prayer, I'll do it later. Or even more serious, don't even think about praying. Days and days and days go by and you don't pray. Not that you're saying, no, God, I'm not going to pray now, I'll do it later. Don't even think about it. That's a problem. The Bible tells us we need to continue instant in prayer. Continuing has the idea of remaining fixed, permanent. So if you're continuing in prayer, that means it's a permanent part of your life. It's always there. It's never going to move. It's never going to change. There are a few things in life that are like that, that are permanent. But your desire and your prayer life, your desire to pray and your prayer life should be one of those things. But it's always going to be a work in progress. There's never one time in your life that, I mean, I'm just from tomorrow to eternity, my prayer life is going to be powerful, perfect, always on fire. That's probably not going to happen. You're going to have times when there's needs in your life, you'll find yourself praying more. And there'll be times when you won't have as many needs and you might find yourself praying less. There might be times in a couple of weeks where five people come up to you and say, "Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me?" And you'll spend a lot more time in prayer. Though our prayer life is something that should be flexible in our lives. But it should also be consistent, permanent. Now, what do I mean? And we'll see a little bit here as we get on to different ways to pray. But if you only pray at mealtime, you are not continuing in prayer. If you only pray when something, a challenge or a tribulation comes into your life, you're not continuing in prayer. That's momentary. That's not deep. It's not permanent. It's not a fixture in your life. Let's talk about tonight some different ways we can pray. And before I have a list here of 9 different ways to pray. And we're going to go, Mrs. Frediani just giggled and looked down. Oh man, we're going to be here all night. No, it's not going to be that bad. Amen? Each one of these is part of prayer. Some of them intertwine, they work hand in hand. But part of the problem that happens with our prayer lives is when it becomes one thing, I only pray like this. That's how it can easily become like that friendship bread. It's the same thing every day, every week, every year. And it can easily become stale. Now, if you have one way to pray and it's working, you know you're getting a hold of God, God's getting a hold of you, you can't wait for that time of day when you pray, don't change anything, amen? If what you're doing is working, God's answering your prayers, and you know you're talking to Him, that's the idea. That's what we want out of this whole thing. That you know you're talking to God, amen? But I'll get into these. Number one, we can pray suddenly. You can pray in any moment, at any time, when a need arises. There's things that happen and you need prayer right now. That's praying suddenly. In whatever moment you feel as I was praying myself at the altar on Sunday night, when I feel some frustration, or I feel anger, or I feel impatience, a lot of things dealing with my children, amen. And that moment is the time, Lord, help me. Give me patience. Slow down. I need to pray in that moment. And you need to be able to do that, to be able to pray suddenly. Number two, we're going to go through these pretty quick. You can pray on time. You can pray on time. What does it mean to be on time? Service starts at 7. That's a different message. But service starts at 7, amen? On time. That means at that time, I'm going to pray. And we can see, let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, great example of dedication to prayer. The book of Daniel. We see this in the life of Isaac. We see this in the life of David. We see here in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. You know the enemies of Daniel made a law that people could only pray to the king, to Darius, knowing that Daniel had a habit of praying. They knew when Daniel was going to pray. They knew this law was going to affect Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees how many times a day? 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did, what's that last word? A 4 time, like he did before, like he did every day. 3 times a day, they knew, you can look up, but that window's going to be open, and Daniel's going to be on his knees praying to God. What does that mean? He prayed on time. Have a dedicated time that you pray. It's not enough to just pray when a need comes up. That's part of a prayer life. But another part is, a deeper part, is having that committed time. I'm going to get up at this time, or before I go to bed at this time, or every day on my lunch break, I'm going to set aside this time. And you have a time when you pray, where God can kind of almost set a watch. You know, 7:30, Roger Williams, he's about to start praying. Why? Because he's on time with his prayer. You have a time that you have before God. If you don't plan this, it's not going to happen. But this adds consistency to your prayer life. Have a time to pray. Number 3, pray anytime. So we can pray suddenly when a need rises. We can pray at a particular time for a particular amount of time. But then we can also pray anytime. Not when there's a great need in that moment. It sounds a little different than the first one. But you can schedule these little times throughout the day. Or when you see or do something. For example, I just was doing it now as I'm about to give the example. Sometimes I feel my wedding ring on my hand. Or I'll be sitting and I'll be playing with it. And if depending on how much water I drink today, I can get it off. And I'll play with it. You know what? That's a good time. I can pray for my wife real quick. Lord, help me be a good husband to Melanie. Help our relationship grow. Keep her safe. Guide her. Amen. No, then there's a bunch of these things you can look around your life. You can set a reminder on your phone at an odd time. Maybe you want to pray on the every 20 minutes this day for this short need. You can pray. You can put a... I have four kids. I shouldn't have used this example because now my wife's going to want a fifth one. But, you know, you look at your hand, maybe set a different person this week. You know, I'm going to pray for the Bayers. I got two fingers. I'm going to pray for the Rices. And then I'll pray for Mrs. Sutcliffe. So throughout the week, I'm looking down at my hand. Hey, I had five people I'm praying for. Pray for them. Set things in your life to remind you. Pick a theme from your Bible that you want to pray for. When you pay for something, you get out your credit card. What a good time. Lord, thank you for your provision in my life. Help me, Lord, to think of others who have needs. Add some things to your prayer life to make it different, to make it interesting to you. Because if you're not praying with faith, responding to the Spirit of God, God has not promised to answer those prayers. He's promised if we pray according to His will, He'll answer. He promised if we pray in faith, He'll answer. But if we're just kneeling down and because I said words, God's going to move. No. If your heart's not there, God has made no promise He's going to be there. So this can get your heart into your prayer life again. When you turn on a light, Lord, teach me to walk in the light. That's silly. I know it's silly, but it might help you pray. Think of ways in your life, things you do, places you go, that can teach you to say those anytime prayers. And then I have one here called pray and stay. Pray and stay. A dedicated time, not just the time, but Lord, I'm going to pray. This is a special thing. This is hard to do every day unless, you know, you're retired and you got lots of free time or you get up crazy early. People with insomnia can maybe do this and hang out. But just, I'm going to go away for a couple hours and I'm going to spend it praying. So I've heard of people that take prayer vacations. They go away for a weekend, not to see scenery, not to turn on the TV and watch stuff or read a book. But, hey, let's go to the bed and breakfast or a cabin. Why? So we can just pray together or pray alone. So what is that? That's people who want to get a hold of God. Set some time and pray. I love the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Man, it's sometimes challenging to pray for an hour. But people, you read about men of God who knew how to get a hold of God. When they prayed, God really moved. They were not scared to spend hours in prayer. To us, that can seem like such a foreign thing. So strange. I don't have time for that. If you want God to move, you have to make time for things like that. Matthew chapter 6. We're on number 5 already. Pray alone. Pray alone. This is somewhat related to the previous one, but have a place of prayer. This is more about the place than the time. The first four kind of talk about the time, and these next ones we're going to change it up a little bit, but have a place to pray. Pray alone. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So God is giving us a compare and contrast here. Don't be like those who pray out in the open to get the reward of men. Verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into where? Thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, Pray to thy Father, which is where? In secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. If you have a possibility to do it, have a place of prayer. If you have your own business or something and you have a spot, pick a spot somewhere. It doesn't have to be a comfy couch, you know, a dedicated room. Maybe just have a corner or a place where you pray. If you have a place in your house, pick up one part of your bed that I kneel at. That's my prayer spot. Or that's my spot on the couch that I pray. There's a famous story of Mrs. Wesley, Charles Wesley's mother. Is it Martha? Susan Wesley. Is it Susan? And she had a ton of kids too. And there's a famous story of her just pulling her apron up over her head. And the kids knew whenever mommy pulled her apron up over her head, she was praying, and you did not mess with mommy in that time. She couldn't have a prayer closet. She had like 12 or 15 kids, something crazy high. So what did she do? Pull an apron up over her head, and she was in her prayer closet. That's her place before God. Find a place where you can pray before God. Why? Because prayer is important. Prayer is worth this extra time and this extra work. I knew a man. He told me that one time he was reading this, and he decided that he was going to go into his closet at his house, completely undressed. So he was there, like the day he was born, just naked and honest and open before God. And he was literally in his prayer closet, as open as he could be, to pray to his Creator. That's a strange. Yeah, I think that's a little strange. I don't know if I would go that far. But find a quiet place. I mean, we can say prayers in the middle of a day, in the middle of the grocery store, here in front of everyone, but at the table at work on break. You can say prayers anywhere. But man, try to add in. It doesn't have to even be every day. Mix these things around. But have a place that's special where you know that's my place that I talk to God. Scripture tells us that it was Isaac, I believe, who went out in the evenings and he'd stand before God. And he had that place. He'd go out and stand before God. But it could be just him and God. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Number 6, pray with others. So you can pray alone, and then we can pray with others. Acts chapter 1, verse number 14. Let's read a couple verses here in Acts. It says here that these all, this is the early church, the apostles are together. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. All of the church got together to pray. And then in Acts chapter 12, a little bit forward in your Bible, Acts 12, verse number 12, I mentioned this part on Sunday when Peter is in jail. And verse 12 of Acts 12:12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying. And it tells us early in the chapter that they all came to pray as well, together. Why were they praying together? Because there's power in prayer. And when we lift up our voices in unison, and it mentions here too, in Acts chapter 1, that they were together in unity. This whole church is here together praying for one need. Why? Because God moves when his church prays. Pray together. Pray with somebody. When we have these prayer times here, don't be scared to once in a while maybe go pray with somebody different. Don't be scared if someone says to you, hey, Brother Rice, could you please pray for my... Let's pray right now. Pray with them. Put your hand on the shoulder. Kneel down right there or stand there. And pray. Pray with people. Prayer helps the unity of a church. This is kind of a byproduct of it. It also answers our requests. But, man, you want to have a special bond with somebody? You start praying with them. Because if you're honest before God, they're going to see who you really are. They're going to get to see your heart. See what your needs are. See how you talk to God. And I think that's one of the most intimate things that you can share with people is your prayer life. Now, we tend to have somewhat, I don't want to say this to offend anybody, but a kind of a sterile prayer. Please pray for service to start. I can give you probably five things that person is going to say to pray for service. And I don't mean to say that we shouldn't do that, not to say that that prayer is not serious. We should still do that. And I know there's only so many ways to pray for God to bless the service, amen, or the offering. You know those things are going to happen. But that's not really the depth of somebody's prayer life. You see what I'm saying? If you can get alone with somebody and pray with them about a need that's personal to them, you really get to see their heart. Amen? Are you with me? Amen? I don't want to say that we shouldn't pray in church and that those prayers have no value, because they have great value. That's a different level of prayer we're talking about here. When you're honest and open before God, sharing your heart versus praying for just a need that we have every week. Amen? Or praying for a meal. Amen? Let's go on. Number 7. Pray your heart. Pray your heart. This goes with the one before. But make sure your prayer life is really how you feel. Pray your heart means to be honest with God. Don't try to be dishonest with God, because He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And He knows when you're being honest with Him and when you're putting on a show. And why would God, God Almighty, God All-Powerful, God All-Knowing, want to listen to someone put on an act for Him? He doesn't. He wants to know what you're going through. If you're having a doubt in your faith, be honest with God about it. God, I don't know right now. I'm having trouble with this. If you're struggling with something and you don't understand, God, I don't know why you're doing this, Lord. I trust you. I know you're God, but I don't. Can you make it a little clearer to me? Because I don't understand. Help me. Pray honestly before God. God wants to see your heart. You can pray just that one need. You can have an hour of prayer where you pray for one thing, if that's what's important on your heart. I think of Mordecai and Esther. When they spent time in prayer before Esther was going to go before the king, do you think he was praying for his uncle's cousin's dog to get better that day? No, days of fasting and prayer, and I assume it's for one thing. God, save our people. God, save our people. So if there's a need in your life, don't be scared to spend. Your heart is one thing right now. Spend some time. Say it in as many different ways as you can. But share that need with God. Share it. Open your heart before God. Number 8, pray a list. Lists are great. Why? Because we are easily distracted. Especially when you kneel down to pray. It is easy for your mind to think about things you never thought of. I wonder how Frank, that used to live down the street when I was 3, is today. Why? Because the devil is trying to destroy your prayer. The devil knows what prayer can do. He's been fighting against God a long time, and he's seen his plans destroyed because God Almighty intervenes. He knows the power of prayer. Your flesh hates prayer. That is part of the old man. It doesn't want you to pray. We're in a spiritual battle, and the lists help keep your thoughts organized. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he gave them a format to work off of. Now, I don't believe you have to follow that same format every time. And if, you know, I gave thanks in part of my prayer, but now I ask for requests, and I want to say thank you for one more thing, so I can't go back, because I already, no. You can go back. I mean, it's not like I have to wait till tomorrow and I'll try to remember. No, you can change it some. But why did God give us that format to guide us in our prayer life? Because we need to be guided. Amen? We need to be taught, and the lists help us do that. I heard a man talk about praying his circle of influence. It's something I try to do. So first, I can start with myself sometimes, because God knows that I need his help. And my weaknesses and my faults, confess those before God. And then I can go out to my wife. And then expand to my kids. And then maybe pray for Pastor Russo and the teacher, the staff at the church. And expand your circle. Now, if you're praying for church people, you might do that. If I'm focusing on my family, I might pray out to my kids and then go to my dad and my brothers and sisters and my aunts and uncles. If I'm praying for missionaries, probably start with Brother Bauman, because he's the closest missionary friend I have. And grow out to people I know. You maybe imagine yourself right now where you're sitting in church, Brother Haight. And we tend to be creatures of habit, and we have similar seats. Amen? And you can picture Sunday morning who's usually in front of you. I'm going to pray for them. Who's behind me? I'm going to pray for them. Now, who's another row in front of them. I'm going to pray for them. And grow in your mind who you're praying for. Teachers, go around your classroom. If you're at work, and you work with a group of people, maybe pray around the room with people who are near you. Now, you don't have to do these things every day. It might be something you do once a month to pray for your coworkers. But pray. Pray a list. Pray a missionary list. Make a list of church needs. Make a list of lost family. Make a list of children in a ministry here at church. Make a list of the different members who sit in your section of the church. And Monday, I'm going to pray for everyone who sits in this section. On Tuesday, I'm going to pray for this section. Wednesday, this section. Thursday, that section. I'm coming back here on Friday because Brother Rice really needs prayer. So we're going to pray this section twice. Amen? Do something to organize your prayer life. It'll help you. Amen? Lists help you pray, help you remember, help you focus. You can also use them to help remind you to pray. Slip a little. Oh, I left my wallet down there. Slip a little if there's a special need you want to pray for this week. Put a little sticky note or something or a piece of paper. Fold it up and stick it right by the debit card you use all the time. Stick it inside your phone case if you have a phone case. Do something to remind you to pray. It doesn't have to be a list of 20 names. Put a piece of paper. I think it was Brother Gip years ago, talking about writing a name on a piece of paper, scrunching it all up and just sticking it in his pocket. So every time he went in his pocket, what is this, piece of paper? Oh yeah, and say a prayer for that person. Think of things to help remind you to pray. Write it on a locker at work or at school. Have a prayer journal. Not just to remind you of the request, but to remind you of the answers. Sometimes we forget the answers. And then when it's time for a new request and it doesn't seem like it's going to get answered, it's easy to forget that, does God? Yes, He does, and He has. But we so easily forget. Because your spirit is warring against, the old spirit's warring against the new, and it doesn't want you to remember when God worked in your life. The devil wants you to think, nope, you're alone again, God's not listening, there's no hope here, why are you bothering? But God does answer prayers. Keep lists to help you. And the last one, pray scripture and song. We just sang tonight, revive us again. Ooh, it wouldn't be a bad prayer to read some of those words to God. Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. And you can change it. May my soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Pray that to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Pray some verses of perspective. Psalms 86:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. That sounds like a good prayer to me. Job 34:32, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Ooh, that's a good prayer. Teach me. If I've done iniquity, I will do it no more. Psalms 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Verses of perspective, verses of power, verses of self-reflection, Lord. Help me, lead me, teach me. Pray those things to God. Brother Jay, you had one on Sunday. Do you remember what that was? Okay, I'll go over there. So let's go over Psalms 119:18. I didn't remember the verse. And I remember when we read it in the lesson, that was a good one to pray. Psalms 119:18, you said? Psalms 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And he was teaching, pray that maybe before you start reading your Bible. Open your heart to the Word of God. What a good prayer. Verses of promise. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that laden are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I have a burden. I need some rest. I want to come to you, Lord, relieve this burden from me. I need some rest. I'm carrying too much. Come to God. Matthew 28:20, he promises, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lord, I'm about to do this thing, and you know it's going to be hard. I'm going to need to know that you're there with me. Pray these verses to God. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Lord, I know one day I'm going to be with you. You're going to come back. And I can't wait for that day that you're preparing that place for me right now. Pray back to God his word. Of course, if you're going to quote a promise to God, do it with some respect. Amen. God, now you said. Now, be careful, amen. But don't be scared. God honors His word. If He made the promise, He's going to keep it. Don't be scared to, Lord, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I thank you for that, but right now, I'm feeling alone. Pray these things to God. And last, the last part of this is verses of praise. Verses of praise. Psalm 63:1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Pray that to God. 1 Chronicles 29:11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Now sometimes, that's something I struggle with in my own prayer life, is finding right words that seem to lift up God. Because I think of scripture verses and what they say, and then when I try to say it in my own words, it just kind of sounds funny, to me at least. And especially if I'm praying in front of other people, Oh Lord, Thou art the Most High. I don't know if that sounds right. I don't know how to say it. So what can I do? I'll just, if my heart's in it, I can just use the words here in Chronicles. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness of the power and the glory. It's saying what I want to say, but in eternal words here that God's preserved. Amen? My father, he's not here so I can tell on him. He doesn't really say, I love you very much. If I say it to him on the phone, like, I love you, or before bed, he'll say, love you too. He was never a man who'd walk up and, no, I love you so much, Roy, you're my best son. But you know what he does do? I think I had a dream like that once. I don't know if it ever happened. You know what he does do, though? He says, he doesn't say it, but he buys the mushiest birthday cards you'll ever see in the whole life. They are full of, they almost goo, they're so mushy. You can't even open it. It's just dripping love out of the envelope. And he would never say those words, but I can picture him at Wegmans for like an hour, just standing there and reading all these cards until he finds just the right one. That's how he says those things. I struggle with that. God, I don't know how to praise you. My words feel inadequate. I can use these words that you've preserved because they're saying what I'm trying to say. Don't be scared to use the word of God to ask requests about yourself, some perspective. Verses of promise to remind God of His promises to you and to lift Him up in praise. Find some different ways to pray. Try to include these ideas into your prayer life. Why? So it doesn't get stale. So you're not eating that friendship bread day after day after day after day until something that should be sweet and awesome has become old and boring. And you find yourself not even wanting to pray. There might be part of you that always has that. That's called the flesh. Fight against it. But prayer should be something precious and sweet. And if it's not that way, there's no way we're going to do it consistently and continuing in prayer. Amen? Let's stand. We'll pray and be dismissed tonight.